And I bring you grace and mercy and peace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Well, my friends, what an interesting week, isn't it? I think it seems to be a perfect storm of sorts, if I may. We are still, at least in my family, recovering from daylight savings time. It's spring break for a number of people. Not everyone, but a large portion. And of course, lest we forget, the coronavirus is out there both globally and locally. And yet in the midst of this, our Savior calls us back with a gentle and beautiful voice, reminding us that our King is in charge. This is what we think about for today. That was my daughter, Gloria. Hi, Gloria. She said, Dad, if you couldn't hear that. Just a cute little aside. But our King is calling, and this King is Jesus, and he is calling people who are afflicted and affected by so many diseases, by so many concerns and cares of this world, rightly that we should have, and other things that cause people concern that are of the devil. But I know, as I talk with many people in this place and in other spaces, you might say things to me like, Pastor, but it feels like I'm having a one-way conversation with my King. Have you ever felt like you're having a one-way conversation before? Maybe you've ever interacted with little kids. Have you ever tried talking to a four-year-old when they're watching a TV show or playing their games? Feels like you're having a one-way talk. Have you ever tried talking to someone in high school, a teenager? No one in our community would ever do this, okay? But they might roll their eyes, a high schooler, and say, I get it. I know what to do. I know the best way forward. Maybe it's at work, and your boss gives you direction without even taking into consideration your opinion or your perspective. And it feels like you're having this one-way talk, and sometimes it feels this way with Jesus himself. But today, our scripture reading and our song verse for today reminds us that Jesus is King. He's the guy in charge. He knows about the coronavirus, and he is actively doing something about it. Jesus knows about the problems in your marriage. He knows about the problems in your workplaces. He knows about the crummy days that you are having, and our King is doing something about it. This is really what our Bible lesson for today is all about, isn't it? For you see, Jesus is sitting down in our gospel reading from Luke chapter 14, and he tells his disciples this story. He says, heaven, for Christians and believers, the kingdom of God, heaven and the kingdom of God mean the same thing. And this new creation, this heaven that we're going to land at one day, Jesus says it's kind of like this. It's like a guy who goes out and he wants to throw the best party that you could think of. I don't even know what that would look like for you, but he's got drinks, he's got chips, he's got a slip and slide and a bouncy house. The greatest party ever. And he goes out and he invites all of his friends, Jesus says, and all of his friends, one after another, give these excuses that are lame, not fulfilling, not good. They say, no, sir, I can't come to the greatest party of all time. Why? Because I just bought a piece of land. I got to think about that for a while. I can't come to your party because I just bought some animals. I can't come to your party because I just got married. And the guy who is throwing the celebration gets frustrated and says, fine, I am still going to have my celebration. So he goes out to the highways and the byways. The scripture for today says he invites the poor, the crippled, the lame. Those he would not normally associate with, those who would be unbelievers initially. And God pulls them into the faith. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God, it's because that's our invitation. That's our celebration. That's our eternal party that we will have here today. And this is what Jesus grounds us in. He tells us that to tell us this, that we are the people of God who might have been far off initially, but we have been pulled in to the greatest story ever told. That we have been given an inheritance, and a chance to participate in the greatest party and celebration of all time, one that has been prepared and paid in advance by Jesus Christ himself, and he has given it to you so that as we live in this world with worries and concerns, and rightly so, we know where we will land one day with our God for all of eternity, safe and sound and happy. That's our gospel promise. Now, I know sometimes this is easier said than done. So I was traveling not too long ago, and as I'm sitting there in the airport, as typically happens, you hear over the intercom your flight, you know, the worst words ever. Your flight has been canceled. It happens. Sometimes they overbook. Sometimes it's for inclement weather. And I get put on that terrible phrase, standby status, pending status, and I'm sitting there in limbo. Well, they're calling people up, and they're getting them all registered, and it seems there's one last flight out to the place I need to go, and this gentleman, he gets a ticket, he knows he's going to that place. He's sitting there across from me, and I must confess, he's a little bit older than I am, a little more feeble. He's got a cane, and sitting there out of the side of his pocket is that ticket to the place I need to go. And just for a moment, that simple thought flashes across my mind. You know what? I'm not in my, you know, teenage prime anymore, but I bet I can beat this guy in a foot race. And if I would go over, grab that ticket, and time it just right, I bet I could get to the gate, get on board, and make it to the place I need to go. But then, of course, the newspaper the next day would flash, Pastor Jacob Schultz arrested. So I didn't do that. But those sinful moments come in all of God's people's minds. Sometimes you feel like you're in a pending status. Maybe it's in a relationship that you have here at church. Maybe it's at work. And you try and think of ways, sometimes simple ways, to correct the situation rather than submitting to an authority and the will of God in that space. Sometimes it's your marriage. People don't act the same, look the same, behave the same. They don't treat you with proper deference and respect. Maybe you are someone who is just lonely, crying out to God, God, just give me someone. Or crying out to God, God, I'm just lonely, take me home. And it feels like we are the people on pending status, but in the midst of this, Jesus comes and speaks to us today. I love it. In Acts chapter 2, it says that God the Father put Jesus to death for the salvation of the world. And I love it because it recognizes that God is in charge. He's in charge of all circumstances. We might read the scriptures and think that those Jewish leaders put Jesus to death. We might read the scriptures and say, well, you know what, Pontius Pilate, he's the one that actually executed and carried out that order. But the scriptures tell us a deeper truth in Acts chapter 2. God the Father put Jesus to death for our salvation. And our King is in charge. In the midst of this coronavirus outbreak, God is in charge. In the midst of your crummy and lonely times in your life, God is in charge. In the midst of your troubles in your workplace, God is in charge. And somehow, in some mysterious fashion, he will bring about good from these situations. Because on that dark, dark day of Good Friday, God put that Jesus to death. He did it for when we feel like we're having one-sided conversations that we might celebrate and have that greatest party ever created for us. I pray God keeps you mindful of this in the days to come. I pray you share that truth that God is in charge so that other people might come to that party from 1 Timothy chapter 2. God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge and truth of their Savior in Jesus Christ. God will bring good from this. Our King is calling, and he loves you. May our God always keep us mindful of this, we pray in his mercy and peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.